Shalom. Good to have everyone here. We appreciate you for coming today to be in service with us. I am so grateful that we serve a God that's well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we shall ever ask or think. He wants the best for us. Sometimes you have to push through the adversity in order for you to receive completely what God has for you. And I'm here to receive everything he has for me. And so, you know, we could write it off as, well, not feeling so well, I'm just not going to deliver the message. Well, there are going to be days you're not going to feel like it. There might be months you don't feel like it. There might be years you don't feel like it. There were some things Yeshua didn't feel like doing, but you got to push through. Amen. When you don't feel like it, it's when he really is calling on you to do what he needs to do. And so we've been in this portion in Genesis, and we're looking at chapter 30. And I mentioned, I don't even know how many Shabbats ago it was. Seems like forever. But probably two Shabbats ago, I mentioned when we get to 30, the Lord gave me a word for the church. Because you have to understand, I wasn't doing the main speaking. Brother Scott, Brother Rob was doing the main services. I was doing the midrash. I would do that. And so every now and then, I would just nudge him and I'd do one of the services. Well, that week, once I declared it, there was an attack. Once you declare it, then your declaration is as much as what you just declare. If it's going to be, you got to push through the adversity. The moment I declared it is when the enemy attacked. It's when you declare something that you're going to do for God, when you're going to meet your biggest battles coming. It's when the biggest battles coming, once you declare it. So know what some people do, they don't declare it. They just wait. I'm just waiting on God. He'll come and go and you'll still be waiting on God. You got to declare the thing. And you got to make sure it's plain that you understand it and you move out by faith and trust God once it's been declared. We can't just beat around the bush about it. So we declared it and the enemy attacked. Seemed like everybody came under the flu and then the bronchitis. And I'm not talking about just a little bit here and there. Very heavy, very severe. If I compared it to something, when I went through COVID, I was hospitalized for 6 or 7 days. This was way worse than that. Way worse. I was trying to compare it to something. I can't even compare it. And I felt bad during COVID. I mean, you know that the enemy's, he's in the business to kill, steal, and destroy. He's here to take you out, not to help you. Never you're going to be your friend. And so you have to be aware of how God's operation and what he's doing today. So you declare it and you get ready. When you declare it, I'm just give you an idea of what you do. You posture yourself like this because the hit's coming. It's coming. And you got to stand strong in the word of God. Well, it hit so severe, I don't think there was anybody available to even speak the next Shabbat. So I sent a message out. And the message was, just stay in position, go over the word of God. So me and my wife got the Bible, and she read 30, 31, and 32. Then we read it again, 30, 31, and 32. We had to get that word. You got to keep familiarizing yourself what has been declared. Once you declare it, you got to go for it. You don't step back, you go forward. So we declared it, and here we are after that declaration. Came last night, fought through it. Yes. Big time fought through it. Hallelujah. And I'm here to fight again this morning. Hallelujah. And so excuse the voice. Listen to the message. Yes. Because the message is important. Yes. It's vital for where we are at this in this season. Yes. So vital. And so when we looked at the text, there's some things we learned about Yaakov dealing with Laban. Yaakov's dealing with Laban, his father-in-law. And we're going to look at the parabolic message this morning that's given to us through the main story. First, we got to understand the main story. Because if you jump straight to the parable without the foundation of the main story, you get lost in the parable. I've seen many times preachers lost in the parable. They have no idea what they're talking about because they don't go to the main story. So I want you to understand the foundation of the parable first. And I brought that to last night. So if you was here last night, you're ready. But if you weren't here, means you're not ready, which means I got to do it again. I don't mind doing it again. I just was hoping I had a strong and better voice so I can do it in my 5-minute version. I hate to tell people I got a 5-minute version for anything because they want it all the time. And so let me just take you through this. I'm going to get people to help me tonight. Today, because last night I was all over the place. So I'll get them to help. They've seen it, so they know what to do. So we're going to take up the text in Genesis 30. So go to Genesis 30, and we're going to start with verse 30. Genesis 30, verse 30. Now, if you're familiar with your Bible reading and you study, you know where we are. You know that Yaakov has been with Laban. He had worked 7 years for Rachel. Instead of getting Rachel, he got Leah. And now he's made another deal to continue finishing another 7 years for Rachel. That's what he's there for. But now, it's time for him to think about his family. And some of you here, you're going to relate to a lot of these things I'm going to say, and it's going to help you. Because we've never been in a better position as a church than we are right now. Now, a church without a word is lost. They're lost sheep. That's why it's important that every leader have the word of God to deliver to the church. Because you can be in the church, you can be a part of the church, and not have the word for the Lord. And how many know God wants us to have the word? He wants the instructions to come. So he's going to show us through the message. And so he says this in verse 30. For the little you had before I came has increased greatly. This is Yaakov telling Laban, the little you had has increased greatly. And Yehovah has blessed you since my coming. But now, when I am to provide for my own house, when am I to provide for my own house too? He said, now it's time for me to provide for my house. Now you have to understand that this is very important to Yaakov, because he's looking at the situation. He's been taking care of Laban's flocks, and Laban's flocks are prospering. Things are going good. It's amazing what's happening. But he said, it's time for me to provide for my own flock. Verse 31. And he said, this is Laban speaking now. Very important that we carefully know who's the switch in the speaker, because we read it on and we're not careful on that. Careful to realize. And so Laban said, what do I give you? Notice the answer. And Yaakov said, give me naught. I don't want nothing. He's just talking about when he's going to be able to provide for himself. But when Laban says, what do I give you? He said, I don't want nothing. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean a whole lot in the natural frame of the story. But the parabolic message, it means a whole lot. Yaakov was not going to get into dealing with sin. Laban represents sin and deception. That's what Laban represents. Yaakov is going to represent Yeshua. I know it's hard to get our mind wrapped around that, because we look at the life of Yaakov and he's got some serious problems. He's got some situations. But he is going to represent Yeshua in this parabolic message. Please forgive me for the cough every now and then. And he said, what do I give you? Give me not. I don't want to have an arrangement with sin. How many know we can't have an arrangement with sin and be successful as believers? We can't have an arrangement with sin. So he says, give me nothing. And if you do this for me, I shall again feed and guard your flocks. Give me nothing. If you do this for me, I'll again feed and guard your flocks. So he makes a commitment. I mean, you know, we have to have a commitment to God. We have to be committed to the cause. We can't just talk about the cause. We can't talk about, well, I go to church here. Are you committed to it? He's my pastor. Are you committed to him? This is my brother. Are you committed to him? When he's in trouble, do you feel the trouble? See, we don't make commitments. We just want to associate with. And this is not what he's dealing here. Yaakov's serious about what's about to happen. And he knows he's been dealing with Laban for 14 years already. So he knows what's going on. But he tells him, he says, I'm going to make a commitment. If you provide this, I will continue to feed the flock. I'm going to provide. And what this leads me to is Hebrews 4, verse 15. We do not have a high priest unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who was tried in all respect as we are apart from sin. Very powerful. Why? Because Yeshua was not going to get involved with Levon to that point. He says, as far as you, I don't want nothing from you. But I want to let you know that this is what I'll do if you'll provide. He goes on to talk about it. So I'm going to skip around. I'm not going to do it verse by verse. I did it last night. We'll skip down through and talk about. I may do them all. Most of the time when I say that, I can't help it. Let me pass through the flock today. He says, let me pass through the flock, removing from there all the speckled, the spotted sheep, and the black ones from among the lambs, and the spotted speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages. That's the deal. That shall be my wages. I'll go through the flock. It's the flock. He said, I'm going to take all the speckled, the dark from the sheep. How many know about being the black sheep of the family, where that statement came from? It came from here, but we don't recognize it anymore, that it's something that's God's instruction. We take it as a negative, and we pass it around to people and think it's funny sometimes. I don't think it's funny at all. Somebody came to get the black sheep, to save the black sheep, the speckled and the spotted, the ones that they're no counts. There's somebody who came for that. Our Savior came to deliver them. Do you understand? This is important to God. And so every word of scripture is important. God don't talk in slang. He don't talk because he's running out of words. There's no slang with God. Everything he says, it has great value to it. And so there's purpose behind it. So he says, I'm going to walk through the flock and I'll take the no counts. Why was he saying this? Because in the natural, all white sheep was the most important. All black goats was the most important. All white sheep, all black goats. Anything else, we keep them, but that's the ones we're killing. That's the ones we're selling. We're getting rid of them because we want all white sheep, all black goats. Keep that in mind because that's important. So Yaakov lays out the rules. Verse 33, it's very important because listen what he says. And my righteousness shall answer for me in time to come. My righteousness shall answer for me in the time. You know, Yeshua's righteousness answered for him in time to come. Because death couldn't hold him. Oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where's thy victory? You know what? His righteousness spoke for him. Is your righteousness going to speak for you in time to come? The way you conduct your life, the way your character is it going to speak for you? Or are you going to try to make this by association? I'm just going to hang out with sheep because sheep will make it. Not all sheep. I'm going to hang out with the goats. They'll make it. Not all goats. He's going to select the ones who make it. And I want to be selected. In order to be selected, I have to go through the process. You can't be selected because you cute. We can all be cute. We can all walk around with charisma, you know, and button our coats up and just, you know, we can all do that. But that's not why you get selected. You get selected because you look like him. You act like him. You talk like him. You do what he does. You worship like he worships. Very important. And this is the process that he lays out for us. He said, my righteousness shall answer for me in time to come when you come concerning my wages. Everyone that is not speckled. Now look at what's happened to Yaakov. Something's changing this fella. This guy has a radical change because he's the deceiver, and he's the one that's the deceptor. He's the heel grabber, but something's changed in him. Something's happened in his life. He said, when the time comes when you come concerning my wages, everyone that is not speckled, spotted among the goats, and black among the lambs, it is stolen if it is with me. He was prepared to give it back. He said, if I accidentally take something I shouldn't take, then I'm gonna give it back because I don't want it to be said that I tried to be crooked in any way. Now this was not his natural character. In the natural, he was that sneaker, that deceiver. But something happened to Yaakov. He's finally learning this lesson. After 14 years of what he went through, tending it, and he sees God's hand upon him and is prospering, something's changed in his life. And so we see that happen. Very important that we grab hold to these principles. Thank you, brother. In a little while, I just pour it on my head and keep going. Everybody still with me? Verse 34. And Laban said, see, let it be according to your words. This is where sin agrees. If you want somebody to agree with you, sin will. If you want to keep your attitude, sin will agree with your attitude. If you want to keep your character, your old nature, sin will agree with it. It's exactly what sin does. It puts its arm around you and says, we okay, buddy. Don't worry about anything. Look, everybody else is doing it. We can do what everybody else is doing. And they're saved. It don't matter. Sin will agree with you. If you're looking for somebody to agree with you, sin will. You know what Levine's saying? He's like that. Let's get it done, buddy. It's okay. Because he knew what he was about to do. That's why he said, see, let it be according to your words. Whatever you said, Yaakov. I'm great with him because he was in glee. I mean, I'm about to rip this fella off. You know that's what sin does when you don't even realize it. It's got his arm around you and it's got a knife going in your back. That's what sin does. And you don't even see it. You don't even see it. You've been there, I've been there. We walk these walks. That's the reality. The reality is you don't realize that night out, that you think everything's fine and wonderful, the enemy's out to destroy you and to take you out because the moment you die, it's over. But today you have a choice. Today you can choose. You can make the right choice. You can be selected. He's in the selecting business. He said, let it be according to your word. And on that day, Levine set aside the male goats. Let's set aside all these things that Levine did. He started getting rid of them. Got a little sack here. You can just put them all in. This is what Levine did. I want you to notice this. Now, I did it as an illustration because this is how the Lord gave it to me. He gave it to me in illustration form so people can relate to it. So this represents his flock, all what you see up here. Now they're separating the speckled, the spotted, and the dark ones from the sheep. And on that day, he set aside the male goats that were speckled and spotted and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, everyone that had some white in it, and all the black ones from among the lambs, and gave them into the hand of his sons. That's what he did on that day. The same day they made the deal. When you think you got a friend in the enemy, he's not your friend.
That's right.
When Levine got done, this is what he has. All white, all black. There's not a speckle to spot it. There's no black among the sheep. The goats are black. Now, I gave the scripture for you to read on that. You can take some time to go look at it yourself if you'd like to. But that's Song of Solomon. I gave it to you last night. Song of Solomon chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. Go read it. The bride has jet black hair, pearly white teeth. Jet black hair like the goat. Pearly white teeth like the sheep. This is Levon. This is the perfect scenario. This is exactly what Levon's after. The enemy thinks to make you think he's got everything fixed for you. The world, don't worry about it. We got it fixed for you. We're your great savior. It's how most governments try to run in the world today. They got all the answers. They got all fixed for you. It's either black or white. We don't want nothing in between. We can fix it for you. This is the scenario that Levon, which represents sin, wind up with. Took all the speckled and spotted. Now, it's a disadvantage to Yaakov because what he's counting on, speckled, spotted, mottled, and dark among the sheep. That's going to be his. That was the deal they made. But how many he's going to get now? How many Yaakov's getting now? Big zero. Disadvantage. But this is where Yah steps in. He loves the disadvantage. He loves when it's difficult. It's okay. He's God. When you can't fix it, he can fix it. When you can't figure it out, let him figure it out with you. This is how he steps in and does what he does. But in order to do that, he's got to initiate in your life faith. It takes faith. You got to activate something that you don't even know you have. And so then he has to deal with Levon in a way that ministers to his life. So he does that. This is what happens. Verse 36. And he put three days journey. Where y'all put the 3 days? He gave it to his sons. He put 3 days. 3 days. Keep 3 days in mind because there's something else about 3 days that's very unique about the Bible. Very unique. Can anybody guess what those 3 days are? See, the enemy thinks he's smart, but he's never smarter than God. 3 days, he put a distance between them. But there's also one who did something in 3 days in order to rescue those who've been taken away. He put 3 days journey between him and Yaakov. And Yaakov did what? Yet, in spite of the 3 days, in spite of him taking everything that the deal was, he took it away. He's cheating him. How many say he's cheating him? He's cheating him. Let's just call it what it is. He's cheating the fellow. But instead, just because he's being cheated, it doesn't matter. He's still going to do what God he promised. He still did what? And Yaakov fed the rest of Levon's flock. In spite of the difficulty, in spite of them talking about you, still keep the focus on the declaration. It don't matter what folks are saying. You got to stand firm upon the principles of God. It ain't going to just all go the way you think it's going to go. There's going to be difficulty. There are going to be circumstances. But he still fed the flock of Levon. And so he's still doing the job that he agreed to do, regardless of the cheating that's happening. That's a very difficult thing, but that's a character every one of us have to learn. Remember what he said in Corinthians? I gave it to you last night. He said, why is it you're suing each other? He said, wouldn't it be better if you took the heat? Wouldn't it be better that you took the hurt than turn around and sue your brother? What's the point in it? None whatsoever. Why get up there and fight? Why go calling name for name? You say, but you don't know how much. Well, do you have to know? Let me tell you who knows everything. And that's Yehovah. He knows everything. And sometimes you gotta take it. Sometimes it's okay to take it. Yeshua took it for us. He took it for us. He was like a lamb led to the slaughter, yet he opened not his mouth. The most difficult thing people have today is that yapper. That yapper, just they can't control it. Very difficult. Let me tell you, it takes a lot of sincere prayer before God to control our yapper. We have to humble ourselves before God. We have to realize and just be honest with God. Lord, I don't know when to shut up. Tell him that. But we don't do that. We talk about the other one don't shut up. We want to tell him about the next person that can't keep quiet. But we don't tell him about ourselves. We know our weaknesses. And we know where we need some help at. But we have to humble ourselves before God and let him do the work. Now, Yaakov, he could have got mad here. Guess what would happen? The commitment that he made, he went against his vow he made, and he'd been no different than Levon. You got to be different. And to be different, sometimes you feel alienated. Sometimes you feel separated. You feel like an outcast because you have to, I gotta walk this straight line and look at them, they do what they want. And we get jealous of those who work iniquity. It makes no sense. We're not to look at those who work iniquity and be jealous of those who work iniquity, because that's for a short time. Eventually it's all gonna go away. But we have to persevere. We have to put our faith in God and trust him that he's doing what he said he would do. And so in all of that, in spite of everything Laban done, Yaakov fed the rest of Laban's flock. In spite of all the things they did to Yeshua, in spite of all the stuff they did, he still humbled himself even to the death of the cross so all of us could have freedom. I mean, thank God for that. So what an amazing example we have in this parabolic message that's laid out for us. And Yaakov took for himself rods. Now I just cut these in my yard. Reason I cut these, because I knew about, this is willow. I would have had a hard time trying to find the three listed in the scripture. But I knew I could get to the point. So I got my machete, went and walked to the pond, cut a willow, brought it inside. And then I took a knife and I started carving on them. Because I knew if I exposed the bark of the willow, it would show white. Now, these have been cut for a couple of weeks because of that attack. Remember that attack I talked about? So I put them in water and just brought them back. And they're still good enough. We got striped, spotted, and streaked. Can everybody see that?
Yes, sir.
Laban had to cut the rods. Sometimes we got to find out about our position and take our position serious enough to do the job that God's called us to do. I'm going to read it again to you. And Yaakov took for himself rods. Who's the rods for? Himself. He took the rods for himself. Because listen, before anybody's going to believe what you say, you got to believe what you say. Before anybody's going to be able to follow you, you better have been down that trail already. If you're taking somebody somewhere, you better been there. Take the rods for yourself. That's the start. And so that's what Laban did. Now, where did he get this from? Well, he got it from Jehovah. We read in 31 where he got it from. Amen? Don't we read it in 31 where he got it from? He saw this in a dream. So he's following this dream. Now, we know that God deals with Yaakov through dreams because he gave him a dream prior to this about a ladder. How many know positions everything? But after Katrina hit, I was having a difficult time. We just got finished building this building. We moved in 2004. We started the project in 2001. It's a long project. We did it ourselves. This building was set up different. It was a balcony here with double staircase and going up on each side. 100 seats upstairs, 200 seats on the floor. And it was a beautiful big platform there with a live rolling waterfall into the baptistry. A lot of time and effort went in. It was never hired out, never contracted. We did the entire project ourselves in-house, from the erection all the way to the finish. So it took time. All of the wood trim in this building was all cypress. Sanded, hand sanded, and painted, and varnished. The people come together. And the Bible, he said, from the day you've laid a foundation, from then have I blessed you. I went to that word, walked around and laid the foundation. We had $30,000 laid the foundation. We didn't have no money for no building. We didn't have a permit for no building. But that's what the word God said. He said, from the day you laid a foundation, then have I blessed you. I said, well, we laying a foundation. You mean without a permit? Yeah. Without a building? Yeah. Because that's what the word of God said. We laid it, and I marched around this building night after night with my white shrimp boots on. And I said, God, you said it. We did it. The rest is up to you. And he came through. He came through.
Hallelujah.
We put this building up in 2001, moved in it in 2004, had a wonderful time, had a cornea. 2005, it was over. Quick. Everything moving quick. So I was having a difficult time. I mean, I was struggling with it. Brother Eddie had to help me crawl in this building from them double doors right there because it was so piled up. The bathrooms were here, the office was there, and the other office here. It wiped them completely out. The chairs, brand new chairs, just like you're looking at right here, was in here. It took them out the building, brought them through a single door, through two buildings, and put them in a field a quarter mile away. That's the force of the water that came through this building. There was nothing standing. Everything was flipped upside down, except for this right here. This was in that building. The waterfall was over 1,000 pounds. It was flipped upside down, yet that pulpit was standing. It was standing in the position when we left. Because it's the word of God that comes from there. And God always protects his word. He always protects his word. Listen, he's faithful to us. Positions everything. And so I went upstairs. Brother Eddie lifted me up. I grabbed and I climbed up on the balcony because the staircase was ripped off. 50-inch staircase was going up to rip them completely off. Just amazing how it was just busted holes through. And I got up in the balcony, and we had a banner hanging right there where that little hinge is. And the banner said, "At the mercy seat." That was the banner. It was tied with fishing string. It was still there. And I'm looking around at all these things that are still there. I say, "God, what do you want me to do?" He said, "Position is everything. Position's everything." He said, "When you get in the right place, I'll put a ladder in your life. There'll be angels ascending and descending. And I'll be above it. I'll be in charge." You got to let God be in charge. But somebody's got to put faith. There got to be faith attached to your feet. And you got to get moving. And so God is looking for people who's not afraid to go cut sticks and get them ready. The rods are for you. Remember that. He don't need rods, but they're for you. Remember we talked about last night what a rod is used for. One of the uses of the rod, what do we talk about? He says in Leviticus, he says you get the lamb. You put all the ewes over there. You put the lambs here. It's a narrow passage. When they come through, you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The 10th one, you mark it, because that's for Yehovah. The rod was used for selection. The rod is used to select. Now, once the rod selects you, you got to do something with it. You got to take a little knife out, sit down. It took me about maybe an hour to do all three of them. And I had a pile of whittled wood all over Charlotte's living room. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm doing something, honey. I'm going to pick it up. I promise you, I'm going to pick it up." So when I got done, I got my napkin, but I had it all over the place because I was sitting in the air conditioning doing it. But you got to do something. You can cut the rod, but you got to do something. Rod is used for selection. And then we've seen in Ezekiel, what happens in Ezekiel, the rod is also used to make sure that when you get the lambs together, they're all gathered together, they would go in the field and they would get in a compound. Then the shepherd would go in and build a smaller compound, and he would put an entry gate, and then he would call his shepherd. And his sheep would start to come. And if there would be any sheep that wasn't his, he'd push them out with the rod. Because his sheep know his voice. And the rest, they don't hear him. They want to come by association. Sheep want to just be with sheep. But he knows who's his. And so he'd say, make sure all of that is his. Because when he goes in there, he's training, he's teaching, he's preparing. Everybody's going to follow somebody. You're going to follow something. When you say, "I'm not following anything," you're following something. You're following something. And so whatever you sign up to do, do it with everything you got. But what God has, you got to have somebody who's going to put the rod before the people. Because this is no joke. And I spent my entire life, literally, my entire life, putting rods before people. Because I made a commitment. It didn't matter what it looked like. I made a commitment. It didn't matter who was stealing. I made a commitment to God. And I pray that you've seen that commitment over the years. That putting the rod before the people is the only way that God's going to show this breakthrough that's coming. And it's coming. Now, still, what does Jacob have? Nothing. He's got three rods. That's all he's got. But then he tells him to do something. That's fascinating. And but this rod is with the word makel in the Hebrew. And it's root meaning, it's an unused root word, makel, and it means to germinate. Everybody say germinate. Germinate. Means to germinate. You know what germinating is? It's something that's dead, but then it's some life is brought into it. It's dead, but life is brought into it. It's a dead situation here. How many is getting out of here? Nothing. But this rod is going to be something that influences. The rod is used to influence. If we look at the kuf in the lamed, it means gather to the staff. And this is what we have. We have the mem, the kuf in the lamed. This word, Mikael. We are gathering to the staff. And so we know that he's getting us ready. And so I said I was going to give you the short version, but hey, there is none. I'm telling you, there is none. You need to hear everything I'm saying today because it's important to you, important to your life. So he took for himself rods, green poplar of the almond chestnut tree, peeled white stripes in them and exposed the white which was in the rods. This is what I did here. Simple. I did it to show you. You can do it with just about any wood. That's easy to get bark off, and willow's easy. I learned that when I was I grew up trapping, and in trapping we used to we'd cut willows all the time, and we'd make a knockout stick. A knockout stick, we'd peel the bark off. You didn't need the bark. You needed that stick, and it was easy. Once you peel the bark off, the slime goes away because it's real slimy. Then you got your good knockout stick. It's white. Boom, you're good. And everybody walked around. As a kid in the village, you walked around with your little knockout stick. You was the man when you got a knockout stick. Your daddy had a knockout stick, his grandpa had a knockout stick, and now you got you one. And I remember those days, you know. So when I'm cutting these, I'm thinking about the old times, you know. And I'm thinking about how you can learn so many lessons. We don't realize, but Jacob had to get these rods. So when you call the preacher up, you know what he's doing? He's cutting and peeling all week. At least that's what I'm doing. You want to know what he's doing? He's cutting and peeling because he's got a job to do. He's got a job. He's got to lay the rods before the people. So if somebody says, what are you doing? I'm cutting and peeling. Now you know what they're talking about. Cutting and peeling. And sometimes you got to turn the page and read one more verse. Sometimes you got to go to another chapter. You got to dig in there, cut and peel. Cut and peel. Get down to the white. And this is what he did. So he does all this, exposes the white which is in the rods. And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks in the gutters. He set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks in the gutters. In the watering trough where the flocks came to drink. And they conceived when they came to drink. These are got to go to the water. They're going to go to the water. Every day, these flocks are going to go. The white's going to go to black. The white sheep, the black goats are going to go to the water. He set them in the water. When they come to drink, they're looking down, and they're now exposed to something that they had never been exposed to before. What do they see? And they see it striped, spotted, and streaked. Well, you think the sheep are hitting the other sheep and say, hey man, what's these stripes and string and spotted? What is all that? They're not asking that. They're drinking. They have no idea what's happening, but they're being germinated. They're being influenced. So the job of the pastor is to make sure he's influencing his people in the correct way. It's his job. You know, we talk about influencers today, and I kind of said it a couple weeks ago about being influenced. I mentioned it in Midrash, and I was holding back. I was holding back on all this because you are an influencer. And every one of us, at some point in our life, we influence. If you're married, you're influencing your spouse. If you have children, you're influencing your children. If you're on a job, you're influencing a coworker. So how you conduct yourself is important to God. And if you're influencing them in a way that doesn't line up with the text, then we got problems. So how you go, you know, how you act in church, it's not the real you. The real you is when you're by yourself. A man is who he is when he's alone. That's the real you. And so you have to make sure that you're following after the text where God's directed you, that way you're being a great influence. So the pastor's job is not easy. Now I'm going to talk to the pastor today. The pastor's job is not an easy job. His task is very heavy. That's why the people should realize, pray for your pastor. Pray for him. Just regular, they're regular folks. They're regular folks with regular problems. They go through difficulties just like anybody else. They get sick, they get hoarse, they lose their voice. All those things. But no matter what they got going on, they have a responsibility to cut rods and peel bark. That's their responsibility. And we have to make sure that we encourage them into that. And so the job that's meant more to me than anything, no, it's not fame, it's not prestige. It don't matter who preaches. People know me here. I'll sit down and give the mic to anybody if they'll get a word from God. But I'm not gonna listen to somebody give nonsense. When you spend your life cutting rods and peeling bark, you know when nonsense has happened. You go, man, they couldn't study the 30 minutes. What in the world is that? Look a word up. Turn the next page. Get a reference. Give me something. But we got to make a connection. And so the pastor's job is he has to realize this. His job is to cut rods and peel bark. Put them in the watering trough. What is the parabolic message of the watering trough? John 3. Nicodemus came to Yeshua. He said, what must I do to be born again? We're not talking about just making people happy. We're not giving a social message so everybody hugs and kisses and we all say kumbaya and go home. We're talking about being saved. We're coming out of darkness into the light. How do we get there? We don't get there because you just say it. Something actually has to happen. And so Nicodemus said, what must a man do to be born again? He said, you have to be born of water and of spirit. Why do you think Yaakov put the water, the rods in the watering trough? Because there's something that has to happen when you go to water. There's a cleansing action that happens. So how you came, when you leave, you're not the same. So you're born of water and spirit. Now, there's going to be, all of these are going to drink from here, but not all of them's going to be born again. Just because the pastor does everything perfect, don't mean everybody's born again. Because Paul watered, Apollos, Paul sows the seed, Apollos waters, but God gives increase. There's some things that you can't do and I can't do. And as a pastor, we have to realize our limitations. We're limited to a certain thing. We have to do whatever we're allowed to do. We better be doing it to the best of our ability. But after that, we got to leave it up to God. Because he's the one who gives the increase. He comes and causes what's dead, which doesn't have any existence of life, because it's a dead seed. He brings existence back into that seed. That's called germany. Let me thank God for that. Because we were all dead in our trespasses and sin, all of us. You were dead, I was dead, we were all dead, we were all in the same boat. We were in a boat called dead, and we was headed nowhere. But he came and spoke life into us, and something germinated inside, and now I got this hope. But I'm streaked. I'm flawed. I'm the black sheep of the family. I'm spotted. I'm mottled. And the first thing, that's exactly who he wants. He wants the flaws. He wants those that are having difficulties. You might have been marked out. He's marking you out for a reason. Because he's got something for you. And this is what he did. So Yaakov, He brings the sheep to the watering trough. He brings the goats. I'm liable to spill these everywhere. So this is about to get over. Oh, the cup. It's leaning. Thank you. So the flock conceived before the rods, and the flock brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted. Think about that. The flocks conceived before the rods. Now, when they conceived before the rods are doing what? Influencing. The rods are acting. I want you to understand the rods are representing his instructions. Now, does Jacob know to do this on his own? He knows nothing. You read in 31, if he wouldn't have been for the dream, he wouldn't know what to do. Because right now, all he is, he's in a position where he feels cheated. He has no nothing. He don't have no spotted, no stripe, no mottled in here. All he's got is white sheep and black goats. He's getting none of that. He gets nothing from that by his own deal. He gets nothing. But he sets him before the instructions. Now, the instructions are here to do a job. God's instructions is here to do a job. It's to influence you in some way for you to get a hold to this. So you read your Bible, it's there to influence you. Because people, we live in a society of influencers. YouTube is nothing but a big social influencing thing. Also, what they call that one at short one? TikTok. It's all about influence. It's about getting followers and influencing people. You're trying to influence them. They, on TikTok, they come out, if they do a crazy thing like that, then 100,000 people start doing that, then 2 million people's on the thing doing that. This is true. Is it not true? Y'all more familiar with this. This is our college side right here. This is our college graduate. They're more familiar with this. It's the way it is. You're being influenced to do something. You may not even like doing that. But you get influenced. Remember that one time? I remember there was a time they was pouring water on people. Remember that? You put what they called it?
Ice bucket challenge.
And you pour ice bucket challenge. Everybody was doing it. People that never knew nothing about it. Crazy. But we get influenced to do something. Well, when it comes to church, we just want to pick ours what we want. Well, that's not how you get saved. It's not how you get born again. The process of being born again is selected by God. God has instructions. He has rules. He sets those rules out. So he's showing us in Yaakov that Yaakov's going to get a chance to get from this point of being cheated where God's going to bring back into his life some powerful principles. They're powerful principles that he needs to understand, valuable. And so what he tells them, he says, bring them before the trough, they drink, and then they start to reproduce. Remember, there's two breeding seasons when it comes to sheep and goats. Two breeding seasons. Those who breed in the spring and drop their young in the fall are the strong ones. But those who breed in the fall and drop in the spring are the weak ones. That's the two breeding seasons. And so he knew that. Jacob was what? So when it came time for the ones that would breed in the spring and drop in the fall, he would bring them before the trough. When the ones that came, the weaker ones, he removed the sticks out the trough. He was getting a strong flock. Strong flock. So we got to be involved. The pastor's got to be involved with a lot of things. Involved more than you realize. When you're sleeping, he's praying. He's praying for your children, for your family, that God will keep you, protect you, watch over you. He's involved. He's not so involved that he's by your house every day. He's not in your business, but he's in your business. He may not know what you think he should know, but he knows what's important to know. Very important. He might not go to the birthday party, but he's been there more times than you can even imagine. Do you understand? He's counting the days and the years and the months. This is important. This is what has happened here. This is valuable for our understanding. And Jacob separated the lambs and made the flock face toward the street, and all the black of the flock of Laban, and he put his own flock by themselves and did not put them. Let's add back in. Let's put these. This is what started happening. Bring over those streaked and spotted. Let's put them all in here. Now Jacob has something. They started producing. And so once they produce, he never puts his back with these. Never do we read in the text where these go back into this flock. They never mix again. They're separated forever. When you sign up to go with God, you got to let go the old days. That's over. You've been set free from that. But there's this tendency where we always think we just got to go back. There's nothing back. There's nothing there. You've been separated from that. You've been selected. And so Jacob would never mix them. Why you don't mix them? Because then what's going to happen to Laban, the schemer? He's going to come and say, well, you mixed your streak and your spotted in mine, and now that's why they're doing that. That's why he kept changing his ways. He said, well, you can have all spotted. Then they produced all spotted. Then he said, okay, no spotted, all the street. Then they would produce all street. 10 times he changed his wages. Every time he would change it, no matter what he did, it didn't matter. Because how many of you know it doesn't matter what the enemy does? God is never going to be outwitted. God will never be tricked. We get tricked, but he will never be tricked. Because he knows. And so he told Jacob when it came time to put the sheep before the rods again, what he did, he put them before the striped. Why? Because now you can become an influencer. When you ought to be teachers, is what he says, you're not teaching, but you ought to be. So when the pastor's been keeping you all these years, and rather you being able to teach, you can't teach. You're still talking about, well, I ain't no speaker. You know, excusing a behavior. We should all be ready to teach, all apt to teach. Why do we teach? Teaching informs you. Why do we preach? Preaching moves you. You have to have both of them operating. You have to have teaching because it informs you. But you have to have preaching because it moves you. It gets you from a place of stagnation. It motivates you, inspires you to get moving and do something. And so teaching and preaching is valuable to God. And so at some point, what we see Jacob doing, we read the text. Instead of putting them in front of the rods, now he's putting Levine's flock in front of his. And they become influencers. But he never lets them mix. The moment they have streak, he takes them out. And all of a sudden, what started happening to the Jacob's flock? It started growing, and they were all the strong ones. Because when the weak ones were time to give birth, he took the rods out of the trough. He would take his and put them over here. Let them have them weak babies. When the strong ones get ready, we're going to put them back. We want to be influencers. At some point, the church, the body, has to influence the congregation, each other. And we have to be walking sharp in the text and allow the text to minister to our lives. It should be valuable to us in everything we do. So we see that happening. Jacob's rods were used to influence. Very important. And so in chapter 31, we see he heard the words of Laban's son saying, this is what his son says. Chapter 31, verse 1. Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what belongs to our fathers, he has made all this wealth. And Jacob would look at the face of Laban and see that it was not toward him as before. He could see that Laban was getting angry. Laban was getting upset. His attitude toward Jacob wasn't the same. Because he looked at his flock, and he looked at Jacob's flock, and Jacob's flock was expanding. No matter what Laban did to trick him, God always came through. Every time he always came through. Why? Because he had a word from Jehovah. And so we see in verse 3, and Jehovah said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your relatives. I am with you. Return to the land of your fathers. So now it's time, what we're going to see is Jacob, these never get put back into here. Laban's all white and all dark, stay all white and all dark. But these, notice they're going to leave from here and they're going to get to the promised land. The goal is to get you to the promised land. So being saved and separated from the all white and all black, there's a reason for that. And so very important that we understand that which is born of the flesh is flesh. When they would come, they would all produce. But they wouldn't all produce speckled and spotted and streaked. Some of the time they would just produce white. They went back in the white. That which is born of flesh is flesh. But that which is born of spirit is spirit. That's the difference. And so that's why it's important that we understand that when Yeshua told Nicodemus, you must be born of water and of spirit, there's value to that. The value is that we understand if you go toward the flesh, of the flesh you do what? Reap corruption. And so, but we have to go according to the spirit. The spirit we reap life everlasting. This is a value to us. We have to understand these values. And Jacob sent and called Rahel and Leah to the field of his flocks. What did he do? He went and sent and called Rahel and Leah to the field of his flocks. Where was Jacob? In the field with the flock. Where are you going to find a shepherd at? In the field with the flock. If a shepherd's worth any of his salt, he's going to be in the field with his flock. And one of the things he's going to know to do, he's going to know how to cut rods and peel bark. Are you following me? He'll know to do that. It's automatic. Remember, the pastor's calling is not to set him in some prestige. It's the calling's more for him to realize he has a task. He has a job. And that job is you're not going to be so involved in the nonsensical things that'll never get people to be able to bear fruit of the Spirit. But you're going to be involved in cutting rods and peeling bark, which don't make a lot of sense to everybody else. But you got to dig in there and do what God says. Because that's where God's going to bring, he's bringing out of the life of sin to a life of hope. Remember, Jacob had nothing. He was robbed. But now he's producing. And everything is happening. Because every time these go to bear, they were bearing like they were striped, speckled, and spotted. Now, they didn't appear to be that way. They look all white and all black to me. But they were like, they were speckled, spotted, and striped. Why? Because Jehovah was involved. Who was giving the increase? Who was in control of the genetics? It wasn't Jacob. It wasn't the rod. Only thing rod does, the rod germinates. It starts a process. But God gives the increase. God is in charge of the genetics. God determines if it's going to be streaked, spotted, or speckled. God determines that. God determines that you've been here today. You say, well, I made a choice to serve God. You made no choice. You was influenced. You was influenced, no doubt about that. You was influenced. But God made that choice for you. He decided to put a little stripe on you. Now look how cute you are. He'll put a stripe with a speckled if he wants. That's what he does. He's the master at it. But he decided that for you. He decided for you to be in this service today. Say, you know, we just decided we're going to go today. Really? Just like we decided we'd just have an illustration today. This was decided for us because he loves us and cares about us. Hallelujah. He wants the best for our lives. Hallelujah. Song of Solomon chapter 1 verse 7. Say, make known to me, O you whom my being loves, where you feed your flocks, where you make it rest at noon. For why should I be as one who is veiled beside the flocks of your companions? Verse 8, Song of Solomon 1:8. And you do not know, O beautiful among women, go in the footsteps of the flock and feed your little goats beside the shepherd's dwelling. Where's the shepherd going to be found? With the flock. That's where he's going to be. So he didn't go to Rachel and Leah. That'd have been the normal thing to do. But he's showing that something is about to be a move. How many know there's about to be a move of God? It's about to be a move like we've never seen before. Why does God have to do that? Because we're in a crisis. There's a crisis around the world. There's a crisis around the world. There has to be a move of God. If not, many will be lost. There has to be a great awakening. If not, many will be lost. We need to be in a position that we've prepared ourselves all these years. We thought, maybe I was just going to church. I've been doing this all my life. We're about to step into a time of there's no return. And we have to be prepared to do the job that God has set forth for us to do. But one of the things we see is he called Rachel and Leah to the field, to his flocks. He had them come out. He said to them, I see your father's face, that it is not toward me as before, but the Elohim of my father has been with me. And you know that I have served your father with all my strength. Notice what he says, verse 7. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But Elohim did not allow him to do evil to me. Changed his wages 10 times. So you can have some ups and downs. You can have some difficulties along the way. But he wouldn't allow him to do evil to you. And I can testify of that. There's been a lot of stuff happen over the years. My wages have been changed 10 times, but God would not allow evil to come. And I thank God for that protection. I thank God that his hand's been on my life. Because the enemy, he don't want me to be the speaker. He's never wanted me to be the speaker. And I didn't want me to be the speaker. I was on the enemy's side. I didn't want to be the speaker. I pled my case. God, I don't want to do that. I'm a fisherman. I'm a fish. But God called. Now I can say no to God and lose out. Or I can go to the trough, be influenced by the word, and let God cause that germination to take place and get striped. Get a little spot on you. It's okay. And that was the choice that God made. He said, you didn't pick me, I chose you. This is unique to us. It's a unique thing. He chose you. When you didn't even believe in yourself, he believed in you. When you couldn't figure it out, he was trusting. That's my guy right there. That's the one I'm going to do it with. If they'll just listen to me. And we had to go the long way. Every time we go the long way. We're going to pick that road that's least traveled. And we're going to try to figure it out ourselves. And we went through some difficulties. But one thing you need to remember. You're sitting here because he picked you. He could have picked anybody, but he picked you. He's putting his faith in you to trust you, to grab hold of that word and deliver that message. He's good to us. I'm reminded of Acts 13:35. For this reason also, say in another Tehillah, you shall not give your loving committed one to see corruption. You should not allow him to see corruption. This is what Yeshua was expressing to him. He's been through some difficulties, but he wouldn't allow him to see corruption. He was going to die. He was going to die. But he wasn't going to stay dead. Neither would he see decay. Because God's hand was upon his life. And Acts 2:24 says, him Elohim raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was impossible that he could be held in its grip. Impossible. He loosed the pains of death because it was impossible. It could be held in his grips. How wonderful that is. in Genesis 31, verse 8, and when he said this, the speckled are your wages, then all the flock bore speckled. He can change your wages, it's okay. He's not dealing with you, he's dealing with God. Who you think your enemy is, they're really the enemy of God. And so we get so emotionally involved, we're fighting fights that only God can win. Sometimes it's better to step back, zip it, and let God do what he does. That's the best way. It's the best policy. And so when he said speckle, they all bore speckle. It didn't make a difference. And Yaakov started seeing this. He went, pray do tell. I just might as well keep my mouth shut and say nothing and let God do what he does. He does it best. Let God do what he's going to do. He's the winner. Amen. What team are you on? The losing team or the winning team? If you're on the winning team and you ride the bench, just sit down. It's okay. And let him win for you. Sometimes we want to showboat it, right? We want to get out there and do our move. How many times he had to catch us when we broke ankle? Because we wasn't as good as we thought we were. I've been caught many times. But it's so nice when you can just sit back and let God do what he does. He does it best. And when he said, the speckled or your wages, then all the flocks bore speckled. And when he said this, the streaked or your wages, then all the four bore streak. All the flock bore streak. So Elohim has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. Are you ready for that? Sometimes we get what's called a delay syndrome. It's been a denial and a delay so long in your life, you don't know how to expect and get ready for the breakthrough that's coming, even though it's right in your face. So we've adapted to, I might not get it. We've adapted to that. We take that approach and that attitude. So our expectation levels have been lowered. When we ought to have high expectations, because the God that we're dealing with, our Father who loves us and cares about us, he says, I know the plans I have for you. It's not to hurt you, but it's to give you a future, a hope and an expected end. And that's what we ought to gravitate to. He didn't forget us. He's going to do everything he said he was going to do, and it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be wonderful. But we have to get out this delayed kind of mindset that it'll never happen for me because you've been waiting a long time. We all waited a long time for things. But we got to get this position Yaakov was in. He said, streak, they're all streak. He said, spotted, they're all spotted. Because God's going to do what he said he's going to do. Amen? I'm reminded of John 17, verse 6. I have revealed your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have guarded your word. So he's reminded of this in John 17. It didn't make no difference because God gave these to Yaakov. Made no difference. Didn't make no difference. Excuse me. What the enemy's doing, God gave these to Yaakov. verse 10. And it came to be at that time when the flocks conceived, that I lifted my eyes and looked in a dream and saw rams which leaped upon the flock were streaked, speckled, and mottled. This is where he get it from. This is where he got it from. Verse 11, and the messenger of Elohim spoke to me in a dream saying, Yaakov, and I said, here I am. God changed. This guy changed right before our eyes. He's got to change. He went from not asking God about anything, picking his own wife, doing his own thing, to now he says, here I am. He's got life change happening in Yaakov. And he said, lift up your eyes now and see. All the rams which sleep on the flock were streaked, speckled, and mottled. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. Everybody look up here. You see see the streak spotted model? Nor do I. But he told Yaakov, look, there's streak spotted and model. You're going to believe what your eyes tell you or what God says? Are you believing what your eyes tell you or what God says? Think about it. What did the angel of the Lord say? Look, they're all streaked, spotted, mottled. That's what it looks like. Don't look like that to me, God. This is where you got to get from. You got to get from what you see. It's not faith. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, things that are not seen. Not seen. That's why you hope for it. You don't see it, but you hope for it. If you see it, then you hope, you don't hope for it no more. Now he's telling him to see something that's not there. Because in the spirit, they're all spotted, streaked, and mottled. But in the flesh, they're just white and black. In the flesh. But what are we going after here? What is our job to do? Be led by the what? The spirit. In the spirit, they're all streaked, spotted, and mottled. But in the flesh, they're just white and black. And he's taking them from the flesh, and he's trying to get them to see. When God comes in and germinates and does the job, they're streaked, spotted, and mottled. He said it don't make a difference how Lavan lines them up. It doesn't mean if he changes it 10 times, it makes no difference. When he sets it before the rods and there's an influence happens, he says they're streaked, spotted, and mottled, period. There's some things that God says as a matter of fact in our Bible. Don't you believe that? There's things that he says as a matter of fact. Though your sins be as scarlet, you may be white as wool. These are a matter of fact. And so if you can't see that, you're always going to walk in condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. These are facts. They're matters of fact. Now you can believe whatever you want to believe, but it's going to determine whether you live a life of defeat or a life of victory. You got to believe what God's word says. When he declares a thing, you have to believe it with everything that's in you. Amen? So where do we see Yeshua in this story? Where do we see him? In Romans 6, verse 15, he says, what then? Shall we sin because we are under the Torah, but under favor? Shall we sin because we are not under the Torah, but under favor? The answer, let it not be. We don't continue to sin because we're not under the Torah, because we're under grace. He said, let it not be. Very important. Romans 6, verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves servants for obedience, you are a servant of whom you obey, whether of sin to death, or of obedience to righteousness? Let's not kid ourselves, all of these belong to Levon. They're not Yaakov. They belong to Levon. When you yield yourself to sin, you're a servant of sin. When you yield yourself to God through the influence, you become a servant of God. Hallelujah. Through obedience. Remember, yielding is an act of obedience. The influence, you're going to hear something. Well, that's strange. I didn't know you go to church on Shabbat. I just thought everybody went to church on Sunday. Well, you've been influenced to do something. You yield yourself to it, you're going to be a servant to whatever you yield yourself to. Well, I didn't know there was proper eating arrangements in the scripture. Well, you didn't know that, but you got influenced to it. Now you yield yourself to it, and then you become a servant. You're obedient to it. Whatever you yield yourself to, you become a servant of. We have to yield ourselves to Yehovah. Amen? Through his word. When we do that, now we belong. Why is it important to belong to Yaakov rather than belong to Levon? These never leave Syria. Everybody understand that? Never leave Syria. Where are they? In Syria, in Iran, Padan Aram, in Haran. There they are. But these are leaving. Every one of these are going to the promised land with Yaakov. These never leave. They're always. And there's going to be a lot of people never leave from this area. Not because God decides that they don't, but they won't get influenced by the word and then obedient to it. You can be influenced by the word, but never be obedient to it. The influence actually happens. You hear the word. That's why you can set two people on the same front row, hear the same message, and one be blessed and the other cursed. One takes their influence and does something with the influence. They're obedient to the word, put it into action, and they start living it out. They become a servant of God rather than a servant of sin. But thanks to Elohim, verse 17 of Romans 6, that you were servants of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of teaching to which you were entrusted. Were a servant of sin, but the form of teaching came. How many know that's a form of teaching? The form of teaching came, you believe it, and now you're not a servant of sin anymore, but you're a servant to righteousness. Amen? This is what it means to be born again. So you're either still there or you're here. And you don't get here because this magic happens here. Influence. Because all I look at here, I see white and black. But he's not told to see that. What he's told to see is see stripe, speckled, and mottled. He said, that's what I want you to see. And so we have to see the things that are not as though they are. So if you never see yourself in victory, you're probably not going to walk in victory. If you don't see yourself healthy and whole, you're probably not going to walk in there. If you don't see yourself happy, no matter what we do, we can't bring happiness for you. You got to start to see yourself in a better condition than your mind's trying to tell you are. When you start to see that, you start living in that and you become obedient to righteousness. Amen. You remember at the beginning we looked at this, and it said in chapter 30 verse 30, it says, for a little you had before I came has increased greatly, and Yehovah has blessed you since my coming. But now when I am to provide for my own house too. And he said, what do I give you? And Yaakov says, give me not. If you do this for me, I shall again feed and guard your flocks. This reminds me of Hebrews 4, verse 14 and 15. Therefore, since we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Yeshua, the Son of Elohim, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who was tried in all respects as we are, apart from sin. Why? Because Yaakov made certain he was not going to have any kind of dealings with Levon as far as, because Levon represents sin. And so Yeshua made no contract with sin. None whatsoever. He wasn't contracting with sin. That's why he used the term, I don't want nothing. Because the moment he'd agreed to that, then he'd have owed. He'd have to pay that back. But he said, I want nothing. He said, this is what I think should happen. We look at the flock overall, the streak, spotted, speckled, the ones you really don't want. Because technically, Levon didn't want them. He didn't care much about them. He put them 3 days away with his boys. He said, take them away. They're not the wild or white and all black. That's the ones I'm interested in. They bring more money. They bring more revenue. That's what he's interested in. And so this is very important that we understand. From a parabolic standpoint, Yeshua never made a contract with sin. 1 Peter tells us, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, for to this you were called, because Messiah also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. He committed no sin, nor was deceit found. Why? Because he would not make a contract with Levon. He says, give me nothing. And so again, in a parabolic standpoint, Yeshua made no contract with sin. He who knew no sin became sin. The reason he became sin, we're the reason. Every one of us here today, we're the reason. But he had no contract with sin. Sin had no contract with him. Sin had no hold on him. Oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin. That's why death couldn't hold him, because he had no contract with death. He knew no sin. He became sin because he took my sin and your sin, my iniquities and your transgressions, my transgressions, and he bore them for us. He did it for me. I mean, thank God. Do we have anything to give thanks to him for today? Do we have anything to praise him for, to be thankful for? We have so much to be thankful for. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, everyone doing sin also does lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sin, and in him there is no sin. In him there is no sin. In him there is no sin. It's very important that we see that Yeshua, our master, made no contract with Levon. There was no contract with sin. Give me not. So that little term there, and from a parabolic message, carries through all through the New Testament. We see it wonderfully displayed how our master didn't involve himself with sin. He only took on sin to fix me. I ought to appreciate him every second I get. When somebody says it's church time, I ought to be first in line. When it's midrash, sign where I'm sitting. But in our society today, we have to beg and plead. We have to program people to get them to do stuff. They don't get the gist of the excitement, the fact that he who knew no sin became sin for, so I can be delivered. I can be set free. The one who influenced me. And this is what Yeshua came to do. He came to influence people. He came to show an example. These things were for our examples. All this was written for our examples. So we can look at it and bring change in our life. Verse 33, remember he said this, and I said, keep a note of this. And my righteousness shall answer for me in time to come when you come concerning my wages. Everyone that is not speckled, spotted among the goats, or black among the lambs, it is stolen if it is with me. That reminds me of Luke 23, verse 44. And it was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over all the land until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the dwelling place was torn in two. And crying out with a loud voice, Yeshua said, Father, unto your hand I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. And the captain, seeing what took place, praised Elohim, saying, truly this man was righteous. And when the crowd who had gathered to that sight saw what took place, they beat their breast and went away. And all those who knew him and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching this. And so this declaration comes when we see that his righteousness spoke of him. Here we have the captain of the guard is witnessing this, and his righteousness speaks of him. Because when the moment he said that, the declaration came forth. And the captain of the guard cries with a loud voice saying that, see what took place, praised Elohim, saying, truly this man was what? Righteous. What did Yaakov say? My righteousness shall answer for me in time to come. And this ought to be our testimony. Is your righteousness going to answer for you in time to come? How you conduct your life, how you've carried yourself, the character that you display, is it going to speak for you? Or is it going to say nothing? I pray that that righteousness that is in us through Christ is able to speak for us in time to come. That we allow that influence that he gives us to reshape us to be what he desires us to be, born in the Spirit. We have to be born in the Spirit. Water and Spirit. Why would he put the rods in the trough? He's trying to make connections for us, parabolically. So we see that there's going to have to be a cleansing. The influence is a cleansing act. This was so important. If you look up, the mem can also represent the blood. And though your sins are scarlet, when the blood comes, something happens. You get to the what? You get to the white. You get to the white. The influence happens. So the scripture is littered in the Old Testament about the gospel message, if we just take some time to look at it. Because it's parabolically written, but we don't understand the parable of Genesis 30 and 31. Again, to do that, you got to be willing to cut rods and peel bark. I pray that you grab hold of these principles. In Romans 10, verse 4, for Messiah is the gold of the Torah unto righteousness to everyone who believes. He's not the end. He's not the extermination. He's the goal. The reason why the Messiah came is to show us this is what ultimately happens when you understand God's instructions. When you understand the influence that God gives, ultimately it only brings you to one place, and that's the Messiah. You never can wind up at the wrong Messiah. There'll be many Messiahs. Which one are you giving your allegiance to? How do you know he's right? Because he has to fulfill every parabolic message that God has ever displayed in the scripture to the T. That's how you know. So you need to know those things and identify with those things so you'll know. In Genesis 30, verse 36, he put 3 days' journey between himself and Yaakov, and Yaakov fed the rest of Laban's flock. In spite of that, he did what? And so it reminds me of Mark 8, verse 31. He began to teach them that the son of Adam has to suffer much and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. 3 days of removal. It seems like a cheat. God could have saw that. He could have stopped him. He didn't have to stop him yet. He had a 3-day plan. He had a 3-day plan. He could have stopped him from killing Yeshua, but he didn't want to stop him. He had a 3-day plan. Do you understand that? Well, every time you think you can outsmart God, he's always got a 3-day plan. And so they did all these things to Yeshua. And after 3 days, he rose to rise again. And so he rose again after 3 days. That was the 3 days of bringing the lambs apart with the sons. That was the parabolic connection that so we can look at it. So these are things you start reading, they instantly pop in your head when you're reading. You say, man, I know what this has got to be connected. And you go down that trail and look at how beautiful it is when you look at the Word of God. Back to 31. I don't even know where I'm at. I've been over. Hold us. Well, I know where I'm at here. I was looking for my card back there. 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I never seen no card. Well, we had a good spot. This is a good spot. We could touch the rest of this in Midrash. This is a great spot. But my prayer is that you understand simple illustration. This is simple. I went on Amazon. I bought some balls for my granddaughter. A little pack of balls, $20. I took a marker, made spots, cut three trees in the backyard, took a knife. It took just a few minutes. Simple illustration. But he's trying to show us. Sometimes you can get it in your mind and understand these never go back in here, ever. They never mix back. They always stay separated because you're selected. And so you're different. You're going to be different. There's a reason. All of these wind up in the promised land. None of these do. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to be in life? You can be influenced from YouTube, TikTok, or whatever else they got out there. Or you can be influenced by the Word of God. How many's lost? All of us have been lost. All of us. We've all sinned, and we've all come short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior. There's not one in here that doesn't need a Savior. We all need a Savior. That's the condition of man. We're sinners. And we're attached. We're servants to sin. Levon was representing sin, attached to sin. But how is he going to get you now attached to Yeshua, which Yaakov represented? How is he going to get you? You never go through that process until you wind up at the watering trough and you get influenced. Once the influence happens, again, look up that word, makal, in the Hebrew. It comes from an unused root word, which means to germinate. Now, God's the only one can give life to something that's dead. He's the only one that can do that. And we were all dead in trespasses and sins. All of us. And he has to give life back to us. We have to be born of the water and of the spirit. Those that will continue to be born of the flesh is flesh. They still remained here. They was all going to the trough. They was all looking at the stripe, but not all of them all was producing the right thing. Only those who allow God to come in, and all the strong ones, God was touching them, and they were producing stripe. It didn't matter what Levon said. Levon would just yell out, "They are spotted." Yaakov, here we go again. He's changing it again. And they would bare spot. Today is streaked. Hey, he's changing it again. They would bare streak. Didn't matter what, don't matter what the enemy's yelling out. God's going to do what God's going to do. Because he sees what you can't see. And we got to start seeing with the same eyes he's seeing with. When we look at this, we don't see the streak, the spotted or the model. We don't see it. But in the spirit, you might not see it now in the natural. You see your family's lost. You see your family's undone. But in the spirit realm, when you're praying for them, you got to see them born again. You got to see them healthy and whole. You got to see them free from drugs, alcohol. You got to see them free from all the demonic depression that's out there. You got to see them free from it and call that thing into existence. Call the things that are not as though they are. How many see how beautiful the word of God is? So incredible. Let's stand together.